I'd just like to rehearse a couple of the things that you've heard already tonight as we think about Jesus Christ being wonderful. You know, I don't believe there's been any one person more than Jesus Christ that more songs have been written about or more books have been written about. It is Him alone that has changed the course of time that we go by. Jesus Christ is the landmark figure in all of history that has changed all of humanity. And so Jesus Christ is wonderful. He is worthy of our worship. He is worthy of the songs of praise that we've heard tonight. I'll tell you, honestly, a lot of times as I'm sitting here, I know how good the women sound and the piano. But it was very neat just sitting down here for a change and being able to hear the entire choir and how they blend together and just how beautiful they sound when they're singing in chorus together. It's just a great, great program tonight. But tonight I want to look at four specific reasons why I believe Jesus Christ is wonderful. Now listen, I've got to limit it to four. We could spend the rest of the night, we could go to 400 or 4,000 different reasons talking about why Jesus Christ is wonderful. I want to remind you that Jesus Christ is not a figment of our imagination. He's not some kind of fairy tale that we try to pin all of our hopes on. He was a living man who was not only man, but all of God, who walked the face of this earth. And it is Him and Him alone that we have our hope for eternal life. But the four reasons why I want to give you tonight that Jesus Christ is wonderful is because He was a perfect person. And not only was He a perfect person, but He gave us a perfect present. And along with that perfect present, He has a perfect persistence, and ultimately He gives us that perfect peace. I'm not going to take very long this evening. Really, it was rehearsed already in the songs and certainly in the narration. But if you're here tonight and you've heard all about Jesus Christ, I want to remind you that knowing about Him is not enough. You must depend upon what He's done for us. You know, this idea of being a perfect person, I want you to imagine if you could honestly say, I've never told a lie. Now, if you said that, you'd be telling a lie. Because there's no one in this room that's told the truth every time they were ever asked a question or every time they've given an answer to something. We've all shaded the truth. We've all told blatant lies. We've told things to try to get ourselves out of trouble. But I want you to understand Jesus Christ was perfect in everything that He did. From the time that He was a baby to the time that He died on the cross and rose again and ascended unto the Father, He lived a perfect life. That is so far from our comprehension because of this wicked, sinful flesh that we find ourselves in. We kind of say that and give it lip service, but I want you to stop tonight and just think about it, how it would be to never, ever sin, never to have a lustful thought, never to steal something, never to covet something, never to put anything before God, but always to be pure and holy and righteous. That's foreign to our concept of thinking. We desire that. We want that, but that is so far from our practical living, it is hard even for us as fleshly human beings to imagine somebody living among us that had never sinned. But I'm telling you this evening that Jesus Christ was perfect in everything that He did. 2 Corinthians 5:21 tells us, For he hath made him, God the Father hath made the Son, to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. Do you understand that while He was perfect, He was made to be sin for us? Can you imagine any more insulting, more degrading way to be able to pay for humanity's sin, but to become sin for them? Now, remember, God is holy and He is perfect and in Him is no darkness at all. So then what happens when all the sin of all the ages are placed upon God? It is a degrading and humiliating act that He did for us on the cross. The Bible says, despising the shame. To die on a cross was a shame, but it is that cross that gives us the key to eternal life. I think that every one of us could read through the Bible and we would come and must come to the same conclusion that Pilate did, both in the Gospels of Luke and in John, where he says, I find no fault in this man. I find no fault in him. Jesus Christ was and is perfect. Remember, the Bible says that He became sin for us who knew no sin. It does not say that He ever sinned. He was perfect. It was because of this perfection that he gives us the perfect present. We're familiar with Ephesians 2, 8, and 9. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is what? The gift of God. I don't know about you, but during this time of year, you start thinking about, what am I going to get this person for Christmas? What if somebody came up to you and they said, I've got the perfect Christmas gift for you. It is something you're going to use every day. It'll never wear out. And best of all, it's going to be free to you. You'd say, I don't know what it is, but I want it. Can I tell you, Jesus Christ is offering you a spiritual gift that you will use every day of your life throughout all eternity. It is something that he has given to you free of charge. Now listen, it was not free. It's not junk. It's not trash. It cost the Savior his life physically. But it is given to you freely. It is something that is beyond measure. And yet God, in his love and benevolence, offers it to everyone sitting here today. It is the perfect gift. Let me tell you, Jesus Christ had to be perfect in order to give the perfect gift. It is only this reason that John the Baptist could say, Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sins of the world. It is only through this gift that we can have eternal life. You know, it is this present, this gift of salvation, that makes Christianity different than every other religion in the world. And whether it is Islam, or Buddhism, or Hinduism, or Mormonism, or any other ism, I want you to know that each one of those says you must do and do and do. By the way, Catholicism is in there as well. Islam says there's five pillars, and you've got to do this, and you've got to pray, and you've got to observe the different holidays, holy days, or whatever, and you've got to make it, and there's this do and do and do. I'm not here to bash any other religion, but I want you to know that Christianity, there is a clear distinction between Christianity and every other religion, and it is simply the difference between doing and doing and doing and one that says done. Christ said, it is finished. It is done. It is done. And so, my friend, tonight, there's nothing you can do to earn salvation. It's not about doing good or turning over a new leaf or just trying better. It's not about being a good person, although God wants us to do all those things. But that's not what earns our way to salvation, for we cannot earn our way to salvation. For as soon as you go to earn something, it can be no longer a gift, but it must be a wage. And God has told us that the wages of our sin is death. But he contrasts this. The gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. It is not about doing. And maybe tonight you've been trying and trying to do and do and do, and you just feel like you're just falling short. I'll tell you, you are falling short. The Bible tells us that we all fall short of the glory of God. You cannot earn eternal life. It must be freely given, and that's why it is the perfect gift. God has given it just for you, just for me, just for anyone that's willing to repent and depend upon Jesus Christ and what he's done. Let me tell you, if you're here tonight and you're not saved, maybe you've heard the gospel many times, or maybe this is one of the first times you've ever heard it. I want you to know that Jesus Christ is wonderful because he has a perfect persistence. The Bible says that he came to seek and to save that which was lost. Do you realize that God has orchestrated the circumstances of your life so that tonight you would be sitting here hearing about what he has done for you on the cross of Calvary? That's no accident. That's no mistake. God has allowed the circumstances in your life to order because he cares about your soul. The Bible is clear that he doesn't want anyone to perish, but that all should come to repentance. And so, as he allows you in mercy and grace to hear the gospel one more time, will you not respond? Will you not allow the working of the Holy Spirit of God, the conviction that you feel about your sin, won't you allow that to help you to realize that you can have forgiveness? One of the most foolish things I ever heard was a man that was under conviction. He knew he needed to get saved. He understood the gospel. And he made this statement. I wish God would just leave me alone. I tell you, that is the scariest, most frightening thing I've ever heard someone say. Because the truth of the matter is, he might allow his heart to be hardened and his conscience seared, and it might be the last thing that God ever does convict him about. Listen, if God is working in your life, if he's convicting you, don't walk out of here being mad at God. Don't leave here wishing that he'd just leave you alone. Listen, if you will just surrender your life to him, you will have peace, which we'll talk about in just a moment, the unbelievable peace. As a matter of fact, it is this perfect persistence that leads to perfect peace. He is the Prince of Peace. Romans 5:1 says, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God. We are living in a society that is full of tumult, and we are living in, and we're not satisfied with anything, and everything we have is, we're just always dissatisfied. There's a lack of peace in our life today. Even during the holiday season, it seems as though we are rushing and moving and going, and everything's in a hurry, and we've got to be somewhere sometime, and we've got deadlines to meet, and we always have to be somewhere, and we allow that peace to dissipate, even as Christians. But I'm telling you, if you're here today, and you cannot have that peace without Christ, without that precious, perfect gift that he's given, because he's persistently at pursuing you, I want you to know that when you surrender, when you finally say, okay, God, I surrender, I want salvation, I want what Christ has done for me, that is when you receive that peace. In Ephesians chapter 2, verse 14, it gives this idea. It says, for he is our peace. Not just that he gives peace, not that he is the purveyor of peace, but that Jesus Christ himself is peace. And if you want peace in your life, whether you're lost and undone and away from God, or even as a Christian, I'll tell you how you can have it. You make Christ part of your life. You bring Christ into these holy days or holiday season, this Christmas season. And you can dispense with the hectic, frenetic lifestyle and say, you know what? I have Jesus Christ, and I have peace. The world is chasing after it, but it's elusive because it's not going to be found in a career. It's not going to be found in finances. It's not going to be found in fame or popularity. You cannot find peace in any of those things. I'll tell you this, in rock music, I don't know what it is today, but I remember just about 10 years ago or 15 years ago, I was doing a study, and the average lifespan of a rock and roll artist was somewhere around 50-some years old, very young. It might have even been in the 40s at the time. Why is that? Because they get this fame and this popularity, and they get all this money, but you know what they find out? There is no peace there, and they try to fill it up with drugs or illicit relationships or whatever. And my friend, if you're here today and you're filling your life up with anything except Jesus Christ, you're missing out on the peace that he wants you to have. The perfect peace that passes all understanding. Listen, there is no peace without the forgiveness of sins. And when you have forgiveness, when you have assurance that one day you will spend eternity in heaven with God, there is a peace that will come over your soul that cannot be matched. Jesus Christ is the perfect person, still today, sinless. And he had to be in order to give us that perfect presence. He's orchestrated your life today so that you will be under the sound of his gospel, his perfect persistence. Also that you can experience his perfect peace. If you've never given your life to Jesus Christ, won't you tonight allow him to be your Savior? Listen, he can make you perfect in the eyes of God. The Bible tells us that he takes our sin and gives us his righteousness. It's a big theological word called propitiation. And it simply means that God takes our punishment and gives us his righteousness. Won't you take his peace tonight? Why don't we pray with our heads bowed and our eyes closed? You've heard it in song. You've heard it in narration tonight. You've heard it from God's Word, that this season is not about a baby in a manger, but it's about a Savior who rose again from the dead. We celebrate His coming to earth because we know it leads to Calvary. And if you're here tonight, you say, I have no peace. I've never trusted Christ. But tonight, I'm ready to make a decision for Him. Listen, don't worry about what somebody in the other pew might be doing. Don't worry about if you've made a profession before, but you've been convinced that's all it was a profession. The only way you'll ever have peace is if you accept the Prince of Peace. Would you be here tonight and say, Pastor, I don't have that peace. I'm not sure where my soul's going to spend eternity. I'm concerned about that. But tonight I want to be sure. I want to solidify that peace in my heart. And I'm asking you to pray for me. Pastor, would you pray for me? Listen, if that's you tonight, would you be brave enough? Would you be bold enough just to simply raise your hand? Pastor, I don't have that peace, but I'm concerned. I'd like that peace tonight. Is there anyone at all? Put your hand up and put it right back down. I'll not embarrass you. I'll pray for you in just a moment. I need that peace. And Christian, let me ask you this question. Are you so busy? Is your lifestyle so frenetic that we're more like a Martha, busy for the Lord, or just busy in general? We're not spending the time at Jesus' feet. We're missing the reason we celebrate Christmas. We don't have a peace, even as a Christian, simply because we've left Christ out of our life. Listen, if that's you this evening, we give that to Him. You say, Preacher, I don't have the peace of God, and I know I'm a Christian. But tonight, I'm just going to focus remember the reason we celebrate this season of Christmas. Listen, if that's you tonight, you'd say, Pastor, I'm just so busy in the hustle and bustle of life that I just don't have that peace. Is that you tonight? Would you just raise your hand, put it up, and put it right back down? Amen. Is there anyone else? Father, we thank You for Your Word. We thank You for just the opportunity that we have to come together and be reminded of those things You've told us. Lord, would You help us to keep Christ first and foremost in our lives? Through this season, help us to be a testimony to others. And Lord, would You give us that peace that only You can.